Hello, I hope that you are all okay. I am going to share something from my week this week, which is the fact that I can't keep on top of weaning. Any fellow mums out there listening to this, please tell me how you dealt with the prep. I mean, the actual weaning bit is just the best thing in the entire world. It's so funny. The kids love it. They're loving eating all the different kinds of food. It's great. Ezra thinks it's hilarious. And then the cleanup, I think it's even worse with the, because there's like two of them as well. It just feels so overwhelming. Please, can anybody share any tips with what they've done to find to make it easier? We are trying to, so initially we started it and we were planning to, we've planned that they'll have a bit of what we're cooking, not working. Next week we were considering whatever we're cooking the night before, we'll cook a bit of and prep it for the dinner the day after, and then we just have to reheat it. But honestly, I mean, I'm not against jars. Jars may come into it at some point if we still feel like it's a bit overwhelming. But I just don't know how you find time in the day. Like, how do you fit it all in? There's just, especially when they start eating more meals in the day, I just don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. If anybody can share anything that makes it make more sense, then please share it, because I definitely had a meltdown about that yesterday. Anyway, I used some of these skills that I'm going to talk about today, when I was having a bit of a struggle. So that's what's inspired me to talk about the yin and yang of self-compassion today. And I think early on in my journey, I heard the word like self-compassion batted around quite a lot. And I don't think I actually understood what self-compassion was. So I want to break it down into three different sections today and talk you through what self-compassion actually is, because I think once we have a good understanding of it, it's so much easier to practice it, because we know what that can look like in our life. So the first part of self-compassion is common humanity. And this is that idea that we are all going through it. And I think yesterday when I was struggling, something that the reason I was able to be so self-compassionate to myself was because I work with a lot of mums, and I see the biggest common struggle with mums is being overwhelmed by everything we've got to fit in. And therefore, I found it really easy to go, do you know what? Like, I know that all mums out there are struggling with this. Like, it's not just me who's feeling like this. So it was really easy for me to recognise that. Now, if you've not got that community and you aren't seeing that, you might find it a bit more challenging to do that. Similar with different types of your journey. Like, if you're following like Fitspo people or like diet culture-y type accounts or whatever it may be, and they constantly show that they're smashing it all the time, when things aren't going well for you, it can be really challenging to then feel like it's not just you. You end up feeling like you're the only person who's struggling. And I see this in diet culture quite a lot, in the sense that they only show the good stuff. So when you're struggling, it feels like it's you. You're the one who's doing something wrong. And this is where that real negative self-talk comes in. Speaking to yourself really, really negatively, beating ourselves up, that actually causes a physical response in our body. It puts us into a fight or flight state, which is our stress response, just by speaking negatively to ourselves. And I think that is a mad concept to think about, like that beating ourselves up makes our body physically feel stressed. And being able to know that there are other people going through that actually counteracts that feeling. So it's really powerful to find a place where you are, or the struggles that you have are like the norm. So we have a private podcast, and each week we share common struggles that people are going through, so that when someone is listening to that podcast, if they're struggling with it, they know other people are struggling with it as well. And I think it's such an important part of our journey. So thinking about like who is on your social media, there's some great accounts out there right now that are really sharing the reality of life, especially like mum accounts. Like, someone I've started following recently is Em Clarkson. So she's Jeremy Clarkson's daughter, but I think she just shares a perfect mum reality, and I absolutely love that. And she's really into kind of like body positive, or sharing just like normal bodies, should we say. She works a lot with Alex Light London. If you don't follow her, she's another really good one. So it's just making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are struggling with the same things as you, because then it's much easier to counteract that negative self-talk and keep ourselves in a calmer state. once we are able to recognize that we're not alone, it brings us on to the second part of self-compassion, which is mindfulness. And this is actually being able to be present with how we're feeling and acknowledge some of the struggles and pains that we're going through. So going, do you know what? Actually, I'm struggling with that, but I know that this is something that all mums struggle with. And I see that. And like, it's all right that I'm struggling with that right now. And we tend to, as humans, have built habits where we ignore and bury the thoughts and feelings rather than being aware of them. So we go into that automatic pathway of beating ourselves up, pretending it's not happening, ignoring it, not doing anything about us. But if we can just say, do you know what, actually, I'm really struggling with this. It feels really difficult right now. It allows us to bring a bit of space in between the thoughts and struggles and feelings that we've got, and then allows us to do step three, which is probably the bit of self-compassion that you will have heard more about, but kindness and bringing in some of that kindness. But I feel that without that first, or those first two steps, to actually know that you're not alone and acknowledge some of the things that you're finding difficult right now, it's really difficult to be able to bring that level of kindness in. And when we're talking about kindness, it isn't just as simple as just being kinder, but actually, like, we can all say, oh, just be kinder to ourselves, and like, yeah, impossible, not a chance am I going to be able to do that. But we can think about it in a slightly different way that makes this a little bit easier for ourselves. And we could think about, how would you talk to somebody else, maybe your family, your friends, your kids? Your kids are a really, really good one usually, because you thinking about how you would say that, like imagining yourself saying it to your kids, really puts a bit of hit of reality into things. Like some of the stuff that we would say to ourselves, we would never say to kids. And I think that can give you a moment to think about it. But I used to find that really, really challenging. And something that I found easier was thinking about what a role model would say in this moment. So I've had people say this to me, where like clients have messaged me and saying, oh, I really thought about what you would try and say to me in this moment. And I used to do this as well. Like when I'm working with a coach, I always think, right, what would they say to me? What would they tell me to do? How would they tell me to react? And it's really, really nice to put ourselves in, like take ourselves out of the equation and think from somebody else's perspective, because I think without creating that distance, we can get all consumed by that. And something really interesting that we can bring into this to help us is physical touch. And something as simple as putting our hand on our heart, for example, taps into something called our parasympathetic nervous system. This is our calming nervous system. This is what makes us feel a bit more relaxed. We're coming out of that fight or flight, that real high alert state, as can like a warm tone of voice. Because if you think about it, when you speak negatively, it's usually in quite a snappy, harsh voice. Whereas if we can show our bodies that actually, like, we're caring for ourselves, we're speaking to ourselves a bit more warmly, it really creates that little bit of distance from that. So an example of this is you might be saying, I'm not good enough because I've not done X, Y, and Z. Or you might even just be going down that, oh, for goodness sake, I've not done that. It might not be that the you're saying I'm not good enough, but that's probably the underlying thing that's going on for you there. But think about in that situation. So you might go, right, what would somebody else say to me? Well, I'd be saying to my clients, if they were saying, do you know what, I'm really overwhelmed, I feel like I've not done this, and I'd go, right, okay, take a step back, think, right, what have you done? What can you celebrate that you've done in your day-to-day? Because we're so programmed to focus on the things that we haven't done that we often overlook all the amazing stuff that we have done. So I would always be saying to somebody else, what have we done? Can you write down a list of the things you have done today? And I think it's so much easier to think about it from somebody else's perspective. So coming back to that three stages, we want to, that common humanity, so knowing that we're not alone, we want to be mindful by acknowledging those struggles and saying, you know what, yep, I am struggling with this. And then we're able to bring that kindness in. And I think it's really interesting that we talked about this topic with our clients a while back when we ran an event, and something which we chatted about, which I thought was so interesting about, as females, we're often brought up to attach our self-worth, our self-esteem to the way that we look. But when we start practicing self-compassion, we're able to start detaching that self-worth from the way that we look, and we're starting to recognize other things and be kinder to ourselves. And I think another kind of concept that brings this together and this idea of self-compassion is there's two sides to self-compassion, and there's a concept called the yin and yang of self-compassion, which is where I want to really sit with this today. And you'll have probably seen the yin and yang symbol, but is the idea is they both work together. So the yin of self-compassion is that soft, nurturing, yielding side. It is being with ourselves in a kind way. It is feeling connected, loving, present, taking rest when we're burned out, reframing situations, being able to do what we've just said, step back, recognize everyone goes through it, acknowledge that everyone goes through it, but that's okay, and then think about what we would say to somebody else. So it's really thinking about that process. And it's not about kind of letting yourself off or not caring, but sometimes we do need to be softer on ourselves. We need to think about what we need right now, and we need to do things for ourselves that allow us to slow down. It might even be that there's like specific situations that you can think of that you keep beating yourself up over, and we need to bring that yin side into that. For example, a lot of the ladies I work with, the scales are a perfect example of where we need to work on bringing a bit more yin in into the, so that softer side, being kinder to ourselves around the scales. And that often comes with a bit of re-educating and understanding the scales a little bit more, and then practicing working through those three things. Then, interestingly, we've got the yang side. So this is all about the essentially doing the stuff that maybe we don't want to do. So being someone who takes action in a moment with that challenging thing, the thing we're finding really difficult that we really don't want to do, usually something like getting up off the couch and going for a walk. But that sometimes is the thing that we need the most to be compassionate to ourselves. So there's a really fine line between like, oh, I've had a difficult day, I'm going to be kind to myself, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have a little rest, and actually going, do you know what, actually, yes, I've had a difficult day, but the thing that's probably going to be the thing that's more self-compassionate and mean that I feel better is going out and having that walk, even though I don't want it, because that's going to help me manage the stress that I've gone through today. It's going to make me feel clearer, it's going to make me have more energy for the kids when I get back in. And it really is difficult in the moment to acknowledge that maybe we do need that. And I think when we can apply the self, kind of the three elements of self-compassion, do you know what, I'm not alone. So many people out there also struggle to get up off the couch. Like, that's quite normal. I acknowledge that I feel like quite stressed, run down and burnt out right now, but do you know what, I know that if I spoke to Jen about this, Jen would be saying, yeah, okay, you're feeling tired right now, but it's a mental energy that you're low on right now. If you get out and you go for that walk, that'll be really positive for your mental energy, because it'll give you that boost. And it's really powerful when we can start to think about what side of self-compassion we need right now, and ask ourselves and be a bit blunt with ourselves and go, do you know what, am I being a bit cruel and unnecessarily unkind to myself here, or do I need to be a bit sterner with myself in this moment and do the hard thing? And because the phrase I always use is, we can do the hard thing and have an easy life, or we can do the easy thing and have a hard life. And I think it always kind of comes back to that. And one thing that I always want to draw a bit of attention to is that we can be enough right now. You can accept that everything that you're doing is enough, but also push ourselves and want more for ourselves. And I think that is something that I struggle to get my head around for a really long time. That idea that, like, by accepting that I am enough, I feel like I'm not, like, it's going against the grain. Like, I'm someone who likes to develop and grow and learn things and be constantly adding and doing things. But it's okay to know that I am enough right now. I don't need all of that stuff, but want more and want to drive and push and ask for more. So that's where that balance comes in with that as well. So yin and yang of self-compassion, I want you to go throughout your day today and ask yourselves, do you need to be more yin or do you need to be more yang? Sometimes you might go through different parts of your day where you need a bit more yin and sometimes you might need a bit more yang. If you are needing a bit more yang in your life and you're struggling with that, then just pop me a message on Instagram. I can help you figure out how to be a bit more yang or even a bit more yin, to be fair. Whatever you feel like you need more of, and you, if you're struggling with it, just pop me a message and I can help you. Other than that, have a fabulous rest of whatever day it is you're listening to. Go embrace your yin and yang of self-compassion and go and find yourself some social accounts that allow you to feel like you're not the only one with that struggle. Have a fabulous day and I'll speak to you soon.